Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Our topic today is all about the power of praise as a spiritual weapon to fight against darkness welling up within our hearts and the world around us and the very forces of evil that want to destroy our souls. Perhaps the idea of singing praises when you're angry or grieving or frustrated sounds counterintuitive. Or maybe singing praises while you're completely alone seems strange. You might find it easy to sing, but have never thought of praise as a strong and effective weapon in spiritual warfare. No matter what your level of comfort, knowledge, or appreciation, I invite you to join me now as we explore one of the most underutilized sources of power given to every believer through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Weekends ago, my husband and I took a much-needed day away from a long list of household chores to enjoy a leisurely scenic drive to the Northern California coastline. Since we live in what seems like an endless sea of suburbia stretching for 60 miles between our house and San Francisco, it's easy to forget that vast areas of rural land still exist just a short drive away. Given that California ranks third for the highest real estate prices in the country, it was both surprising and somewhat hope-inspiring to drive by grazing fields on the bluffs high above the Ocean Ridge. As I marveled at the breathtaking view and wondered if cattle could even appreciate it, my husband interrupted my thoughts by stating calmly, "I should have filled up the tank when we stopped for breakfast." Yes, again, I know it's hard to believe, but there we were, no gas stations for about 60 miles, almost non-existent cell coverage, and only one way we could go unless we wanted to backtrack significantly. Our only goal for the day, besides relaxing, had been to drive over to the coast just north of the bay and then take Route 1 up the coastline, and then eventually zigzag our way back through the mountains to wine country before heading home. But, being the fraidy cat I am, I instantly replied, "Well, I guess we'll have to go back then." Of course, I knew he probably would disagree with me. Sometimes I think he likes to see how far we can run on fumes just to watch me squirm a little bit. But this time was different. Once we began winding our way through this remote mountain pass, we would be past the point of no return. We'd have to go all the way through. There would be no alternative routes ahead. There was only one way through to the other side, and we were on it. "Let's go for it. I think we can make it," he says with a playful wink. I would have preferred him to leave out the word "think" in that statement, even if it were a lie. As we began winding our way through the towering trees and around sharp cliffs without guardrails, I tried not to think about the fuel situation. I tried to enjoy one of the curviest, narrow, and most beautiful roads I had ever been on. But one thought kept gnawing at the back of my mind. We were now past the point of no return. We had to see this through. At one point, when we had still had about 20 miles to go, I could feel panic creeping into my thoughts. The cool, moist ocean air was long gone, and we were driving through what was almost a high desert. As the 100-degree heat bore down through the windshield, I suddenly recalled a story from the nightly news about some motorists out west getting stranded in the mountains, fighting off a mountain lion and getting severely dehydrated before another car came along. Not good things to flash through your mind when you're running on fumes. Of course, I instantly counted in my head how many bottles of water we had with us. I also started keeping track of how often we passed another vehicle, or at least I tried. I think we encountered only two the entire trip. Well, you get the idea. So I won't keep you in suspense any longer. We made it. But barely. I think even my husband was getting a teensy bit nervous when he asked me several times if I had a cell signal and if I could tell how far away the nearest gas station was. During that time, he remained incredibly serene and totally enamored with the route and the epic scenery. I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want him to know I was so distracted by the what-ifs. When it was all over, I was relieved, of course, but in the weeks since, I have also come to realize how much of life is about living beyond the point of no return. And each and every day, in fact, not only the ones filled with obvious reasons to panic, every second that ticks by of our lives cannot be repeated. There is no turning back, ever. So why is it that we often live as though we can do things over and over? Like we always have another day, another year to love someone as we should, to apologize, to make things right, to pursue our dreams. I love how there's story after story in the Bible to teach us how to live each day with an understanding that we've passed the point of no return. And if we have eyes to see them, there are stories happening all around us right now, each with their own remarkable lesson to learn. I don't know why this surprises me, but I had to reach my own point of no return to understand the power and impact of praising God in the heat of spiritual battle. But just to be crystal clear by what I mean by praising God, I'm not talking about simply having an attitude of praise or giving him prayers of thanksgiving or even spending time on my knees telling him how much I honor, love, and worship him. Turning to God in our moments of need is often composed of spiritual disciplines that feel comfortable in our solitude. After all, being vulnerable is usually something we prefer to do alone. And prayer is powerful. Meditating on the Word is life-changing. But we often miss out on one of the most immediately effective weapons in our arsenal, singing praise to God. Yes, I mean singing out loud with all your might by yourself. Anywhere you are, anytime. Okay, maybe not in the middle of the grocery store or in the office break room, but just about any time you get the chance, especially when you are walking through the middle of a life storm, a major decision, or feel a spiritual attack. More than spiritual icing on the cake after a good sermon or a spontaneous response to an outpouring of blessings, singing to God is a no-kidding, get-serious weapon to fight a myriad of spiritual problems within our hearts, in the world around us, and against the very forces of evil that want to destroy our souls. If you typically reserve out loud singing for Sundays, or would never dream of bursting into song all by yourself, which is how I have been most of my life, then you may not have experienced the miraculous power of singing praises in the midst of spiritual warfare. And if you're like me, you may not have a good voice. But talent is completely irrelevant when it comes to the effective use of singing to fight your battles and bring joy to the heart of your Creator. For this, I am incredibly thankful. However, once you experience the miraculous results of singing during an onslaught of anger, suffering, frustration, pain, heartbreak, rejection, or injustice, and learn to wield the weapon effectively and consistently, you will never want to be without it again. One of the best things I've ever read about fighting spiritual battles with praise is from a sermon entitled Ambushing Satan with the Power of Song, delivered by John Piper back in 1985. With triumphant delivery and filled with powerful anecdotes, both drawn from the Bible and everyday experiences, Piper explains why singing is so necessary for the power of God to be unleashed and how it works. Singing is not merely a response to grace, he says. Singing is power. And he goes on to say, quote, I promise you, singing will bring a new power to your fight of faith. Satan cannot bear the singing of the saints. You can drive him away with song, and don't fall for his lie that you can't sing. Everybody can sing. Not everybody can perform. Not everybody can lead. Not everybody can read music or even stay on the right keys. But everybody can sing to God, unquote. He goes on to explain that the Holy Spirit residing in believers is our great hope against Satan, and that one of the primary ways we release the power of the Holy Spirit is through song, according to Ephesians 5:18b through 19. It says, quote, be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord with all of your heart, unquote. Then Piper tells four powerful stories, two from the Bible, one about missionary Jim Elliot, and one from Piper's own ministry, which demonstrate the miraculous effect of singing. Here's a quick recap of the stories Piper tells, but I strongly encourage you to listen to or read the full-length sermon. First up is Jehoshaphat, one of the godly kings of Israel who began his 25-year reign in 870 BC. When his enemies rose up against him, Jehoshaphat and the people sought God's help through prayer and singing, ultimately sending the musicians and vocalists to the front line of the army rather than the soldiers. 2 Chronicles 20:22 tells us how the battle went. Quote, And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Unquote. This story also reminded me of Jericho from Joshua 6:20 and how the walls fell before the Israelites when they blew on their trumpets. Next, Piper recounts the story of Paul and Silas suffering in prison after being flogged and publicly humiliated. As Piper points out, most of us cry out in prayer when we are in pain or hit bottom, but rarely would we turn to something as simplistic or Pollyanna-ish as singing. Yet according to Piper, Paul and Silas knew the simplistic solution was the best one. They needed a display of God's power and knew that he would inhabit the praises of his people. So they sang, and it worked. Acts 16:26 says, quote, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened," unquote. After talking about the two biblical stories, Piper then shifts to Jim Elliot. Just before being killed for his faith, missionary Jim Elliot and his companions spent time singing praises to God as they prepared to take the gospel to the Yauca Indians of Ecuador. Like me, when you hear that, you might immediately recoil, wondering why Piper would use that story as an example of the power of praise in spiritual warfare. It sounds like a complete failure to me. But Piper explains why Jim Elliot was triumphant through song in this way. Quote, "All five of them were killed that afternoon, but they too were protected by God, protected from a fate far worse than death. They were protected from cowardice and unbelief and fear. And I think it would be fair to say protected with song," unquote. I think we could say the same for Horatio Spafford, who wrote the timeless hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," following the aftermath of the Great Chicago Fire, which ignited a chain of events that utterly broke him financially and led to the death of his four living children. Song miraculously sustained Spafford and his wife through the most horrendous seasons of grief and loss. And finally, Piper tells the story of a demon-possessed woman he encountered in his own ministry. Many of us have never knowingly encountered a person possessed by evil spirits. We read about such things in the Bible and wonder how it could be any more than a riveting movie plot in today's world. But Piper includes a personal experience in his sermon that is both stunning and incredibly educational. As a pastor, he has counseled people struggling with all kinds of battles, but in this case, he had been called by a group of believers trying to help a woman displaying all the characteristics of possession. As hours and hours pass, the group reads scripture to her and prays for her. She grows ever more violent, but doesn't seem to make any real progress towards healing. Then everything changed in a split second with the addition of song. Here's how Piper tells it. Quote, "At one point, about 1 a.m, when the conflict rose to a fever pitch between the word of God and the satanic force in this woman, someone in the group began to sing. It was one of our familiar worship songs. We sang it again and again, and the Lord gave us new words for it each time. The effect on her was dramatic. She began to tremble and threaten us if we didn't stop. Then she threw herself on the floor and screamed for Satan not to leave her. She went into convulsions and then went limp. When she came to, she remembered nothing of what had happened and was willing to read scripture and pray," unquote. Singing was an instrument in this woman's healing and the believer's fight against Satan for her life. Maybe the idea of singing praises sounds too simplistic to you. Honestly, it kind of did for me too. Sure, I've experienced a fresh outpouring of joy and strength when I've spent time praising God, either at church or at home or singing aloud in my car where no one will suffer from my off-key strains. But until recently, I hadn't tried singing when I was angry or bewildered. I don't know about you, but singing is absolutely the last thing I feel like doing when I'm angry or discouraged. But after a series of one frustrating or disappointing situation after another, I felt as though I was at the point of no return. Then the thought occurred to me to get angry, righteously angry, that is, at the source of all the trouble. Yes, prayer, speaking the word, fasting, and saying the name of Jesus are all critical components in defeating Satan. But song is sometimes the very ingredient, when added to all the others, that seems to take our defense to the stratosphere. Why on earth would something that on the surface seems like the antithesis of strength and force be so powerful? How does praise work? According to Piper, the praises of God's people lifted up to the throne of the king throws the enemy into confusion. It happened with Jehoshaphat and with the demon-possessed woman. I've always believed in the necessity to be a warrior in the fight against Satan, but it's never been as real or as visceral as it is now. This week's 5-day devotional guide, which is included at the bottom of the blog post, is a little bit different than I normally provide. But if you're ready to do some battle through song, then I encourage you to check it out. You may not have time to do all of it, nor may you be ready to try everything it suggests. But here's one thing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You will come out of whatever you try in a better place spiritually than before you started. With hundreds of people listening to this podcast every week, I know there's probably a wide variety of reactions to today's topic. For some, the concept of spiritual warfare sounds like science fiction, and for others, an awareness of the battle is all too real. But regardless of where you're coming from, singing praises to God in the midst of everything, not just when you're celebrating a blessing or surrounded by a group of people worshiping together, is one of the most uplifting, mood-changing, situation-altering things you can possibly do as a follower of Jesus. And I do mean in the midst of everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 6-18, we are told to rejoice always, right alongside the commands to pray continually and give thanks. Taking the step to sing a praise to God when you don't feel like it is the key to being able to rejoice always. When we take action, our feelings will follow. It does seem counterintuitive to sing when you're angry, frustrated, hurting, or grieving. It doesn't seem appropriate to sing a song of joy to the Lord in the face of great suffering or horrendous evil. Yet winning the battle begins in the heart. And when we sing, we ignite the power of the Holy Spirit to chase the darkness from our hearts and the space around us. I hope you will visit the blog and experience the joy of song through the 3 5-day devotional guide I've included at the bottom of the written post. The link is right in the description for this podcast. And if today's message made you think of someone, please don't hesitate to share this encouraging word with them. Together, we can help share the love of Christ with those who need it most. Thank you for listening to Glimmers in the Fog today, and I look forward to being with you again next week.